My last guest this week, certainly not least, is Nancy Davis, founder and chief investment officer at Quadratic Capital Management, who is behind one of the most successful ETF launches over the past few years, the Quadratic Interest Rate Volatility and Inflation Hedge ETF, ticker symbol IVOL, I-V-O-L. So this launched in May of 2019, and it recently crossed over $2.5 billion in assets. And I should note, Nancy herself was named a Barron's inaugural list of the most influential women in finance. And I'm now very pleased to have her joining me via phone from New York. Nancy, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Well, first, congratulations on all the success. I'm not sure if you remember, so you joined me on this podcast shortly after IVOL launched. And I actually went back and listened to that conversation. You talked specifically about wanting to do something unique in the ETF space. You didn't want to launch a cookie cutter product. And you talked about IVOL as an access vehicle that opens up exposure to an area that might otherwise be difficult for investors to access. And you look now, this product is clearly resonating. It's now a top 300 ETF. I show this has been one of the five most successful ETF launches since the beginning of 2019. What has the ride been like the past couple of years?
Well, first of all, I definitely remember our podcast. I think it was the second podcast I've ever done in my life. And thank you for that great opportunity, because it takes a lot of, you know, I feel like it takes a village to build an ETF. You know, it's not a, it's all the legs of the stool, and really, especially the ETF industry is so competitive, you know, with kind of, you know, some very large oligopoly type firms. It's really hard as a smaller issuer, smaller firm to kind of break into the space. But I do think when you have something that's really different, it's been helpful to get it, you know, adopted and to see how people can use it as a tool.
I know you're a very humble person, but did you expect this sort of success, or has this been a surprise to you?
Well, a little bit of both. I did expect the ETF would be billions. I just thought it would be sooner than it was. I didn't think it would take almost 2 years to get there. I kind of just, you know, I saw it really as a solution for investors and something, to me, it was sort of head scratching the first, you know, say it took us almost a year to get to 100 million. And the whole time I was just like, why? You know, why is this? So it was, I wouldn't say it's been, you know, an easy road. It's definitely been a lot of work and a lot of learning and, you know, definitely a team effort. But yeah, I'm not surprised that it's where it is. I'm just surprised how long it took to get there.
Well, let's do this. Let's talk about what IVOL holds, and then I want to get into its portfolio application, and we can certainly talk current markets as well. Explain how this ETF is constructed. What does this do?
So it's an inflation fund. That's the. It's mostly treasuries with inflation protection. They're called TIPS. So that's over 80% of the portfolio is just treasury bonds. And then we enhance the way that we measure inflation. The problem with TIPS by themselves are twofold. Number one, that type of treasury is still long duration. So if you have a higher yield environment, the bonds will mathematically lose money as yields go higher. So that's problem one we are trying to solve. And problem two was the only measure of inflation when you look at the treasuries with inflation protection goes back to one calculation that is done by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, which is one index to measure inflation, and that's CPI, the Consumer Price Index. And I guess our big, you know, kind of thing is we don't think the only way to measure inflation is just one index. It's almost like if you bought equities, but you only had, you know, the Dow Jones and you didn't have the NASDAQ, it's just a index. And so those were kind of the two problems we were trying to solve with IVOL. And then the third one, which is, I think, really important, definitely something I've been trying to trumpet to investors, is you have to know what you own, especially in fixed income portfolios, because a lot of fixed income portfolios are actually short volatility, and that's because they own mortgages. So in the United States, the U.S. homeowner can prepay their loan whenever they want, It's called prepayment risk or convexity correction. And that's kind of like saying, you know, here's a Kleenex or this is a tissue. It's just different words for being short optionality, because the U.S. homeowner is long the option. Therefore, the owner of the financial mortgage is short the option, meaning short options equals short ball. And so I think a big problem in many investors' portfolios is with fixed income, they're not, don't necessarily want to be short volatility in their fixed income sleeve. And so offering a product that is gives exposure to long fixed income volatility, I thought was, you know, a really good thing to do for people to provide that access.
You mentioned the TIPS exposure in this ETF. Can you talk about the options on the Treasury yield curve? Just try to boil down exactly what these are doing.
Yeah, so they're not on the Treasury yield curve. There are a lot of different interest rates. It's really confusing. There's, you know, SOFR, LIBOR, Fed funds, policy rate. You know, there are tons and tons of different interest rates just in the United States. So we use and yield curve is just, you know, a measure of different interest rates at different periods of time, right? We use the OTC swaps curve for the options exposure, not the Treasury curve.
Okay.
And the reason that we do that is because obviously the Treasury market is controlled a lot by purchases in the Treasury market, where the swaps curve, because we want the spread to widen between short and long-dated rates, we think it's better for investors to have the swaps market, which is a much bigger market. You know, every corporate in the world, when they issue bonds in U.S. dollars, so whether this is, you know, Exxon, Disney, Sony, AstraZeneca, any corporate in the world, when they issue dollar-denominated bonds, they hedge their rate risk with the OTC swaps market. So it's a really, really big market. And we see that yield curve as a really, it's sometimes referred to the term premium. You know, if you think about what, you know, why would you have different interest rates at different points of time? There are a lot of things that go into term premia, but one of the major factors is inflation expectations. And that's what we're trying to capture with this, is another measure of inflation expectations that's not linked to that CPI index.
So in a nutshell, is it fair to say that these options, they'll increase in value as the interest rate swap curve steepens, right? And that could be either the front end falling or the back end rising. I mean, if we boil it down, is that how that works?
Yes, it's also volatility. So with fixed income specifically, interest rate volatility goes higher. That's generally good for the options. When it falls, it's generally bad for the options. Maybe just to back it up, like, why do we use options in the first place? The reason that we use, they're long options. So the fund is long only options. We don't sell options except to close down ones that we already own. And the reason we do that is that inflation is not bounded by zero, right? There is no, it's not like buying a stock, you know, where it can only go to zero. Inflation can go negative. Inflation is generally a risk-on asset. And so we like using these long options as a way of gaining exposure, but also, so the TIPS have unlimited downside. They are treasuries, but they're just bonds. The options, there's never an obligation on the fund above and beyond the premium that we pay for the options, and then every day they are marked to market. So if we bought an option for, you know, a dollar yesterday and it appreciated today, and someone bought the fund and it was worth, say, $1.03, that $1.03 is what it's marked at today. So it's based on the, it's kind of, I almost, you know, liken it to a debit card where you pay for something fully, whereas I'm not a big fan of futures or forwards or swaps. Those are also derivatives, but they're linear derivatives. So they make or lose a dollar in a symmetric way, and you don't really pay for the exposure. You pay a little bit of margin, or you know, I think we definitely saw that in the headlines recently, the challenges when you have linear derivatives like swaps, you can have losses that are above your investment. So I think it's pretty timely for investors to understand, you know, not all derivatives are the same. Derivatives do have, you know, a bad reputation in the industry, and I do think that is for good reason. You know, many, if you have a future forward or swap, it's like a credit card exposure where you don't really pay for something and you get more exposure than what you pay for. And you can make or lose a dollar in a symmetric way. Options are generally more complicated derivatives, the risk really depends. If you sell an option, the most you can make is a premium that you receive, and then you have a asymmetric potential loss. If you buy an option, the most you can lose is the premium that you pay, and you have an asymmetric potential gain. So it's not saying, you know, all investing involves risk. There's nothing that always makes money, but I think with fully funded options to gain exposure to inflation, it's a nice way, in my opinion, to access that market. And at least, you know, talking in the past, in March 2020, when, if you remember, oil was, you know, trading negative and the equity market and credit markets were panicking with the pandemic, this is in 2020, iVol actually had positive performance during that month, that risk-off month, even though the tips were down during that period.
Nancy, a few minutes left. Let's talk markets. And obviously, inflation has been a hot topic this year. I think with all of the stimulus and with the economy hopefully reopening in full and picking up steam here, there are some concerns that we could finally see a meaningful uptick in inflation. And so in advance of that, interest rates have ticked up fairly substantially. Give us your outlook here. Do you think this specter of inflation is real? Is it a head fake? Because, you know, if you think back to after the financial crisis in 08, 09, and all of the stimulus that we saw then, I think people thought inflation would really pick up after that, and it never really materialized. Where do you think we're at now?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know there are a lot of people who, especially economists, who will pontificate about what they think will happen in the future. I'm not sure whether, you know, it does seem like kind of the perfect cocktail or alchemy of, you know, between the blue wave fiscal spending, average inflation targeting, and, you know, and the pandemic. It does seem like a pretty good case if we were going to have inflation, but I don't know if we're going to have inflation or not. I don't know if we're going to have stagflation. Stagflation is also, in my mind, a non-zero probability. That's typically when stocks and bonds sell off together, and that is, you know, typically when you have, you know, low growth, high unemployment, and higher prices, which, you know, can come in the form of supply shocks or labor shortages or supply chain disruptions. So I feel like that's also a possibility. I know we do have a couple of endowments who use iVol within their institutional portfolio for, you know, potentially to for stagflation risk. But it's hard to tell what exactly is going to happen. But I think it's one of those things that, you know, no one wants to outlive your wealth, and inflation is something that I think most people should have exposure to, whether they think it's going to happen or not, in my opinion. But it's hard to say whether this time will actually get things going or not. What do you think, Nate? Are you in the deflation, inflation, stagflation, or don't know camp like me?
So as I always say on this podcast, my crystal ball is completely broken. I don't have a very good ability to look into the future. You know, look, I do think the environment has certainly changed. I think that's clear. And you look at the jump that we've had in rates since the beginning of the year. I think as an investor, you have to pay attention to that. What I always come back to, and this is cliche, but I think this fits, is you have to have diversification in your portfolio. The fact is, nobody really has a functioning crystal ball. And so when you're constructing a globally diversified portfolio, what do you put in that to accommodate different types of market environments that may arise? And, you know, that's where I think, you know, looking at ETFs like iVol, and you should have core bond holdings, things that are going to react differently depending upon what happens. That's where I land. I know it's kind of a boring answer, but...
No, I think it's the same as mine, is you just don't know what's going to happen in the future. And I think people who try to say that they know what's going to happen in the future are not really, you know, how would they know?
Exactly.
So I think I completely agree with you. And that's why, and I do think diversification is key. You know, there is no, you know, magic unicorn for all investing. And so having a well-diversified portfolio is super important for all investors, because we just don't know what's going to happen. Nobody could have predicted it. It almost sounds like a science fiction movie that we're having a global viral pandemic, you know, for the last year. You know, nobody knew that was coming. So,
Nancy, I was going to say, I mean, great reconnecting. Really happy for you. Congratulations on all the success. It's always fun to visit. But thank you for joining me this week.
Oh, thanks for having me back. I really appreciate it.
That was Nancy Davis, founder and chief investment officer at Quadratic Capital Management.